this past, I don't think it was this past week, but week previously, Ocean and I recently went to the theater to watch a movie that had come out.
Donc la semaine dernière, Ocean et Simon sont allés voir un cinéma, un film.
The movie, you might have heard of it, you might know it, was Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. It was the new, what do you call that in English?
Marvel?
Yeah, Marvel animated film that came out.
Donc c'est un nouveau film de Spider-Man de la série de Marvel.
And it really was a good movie. It was a great movie with a really interesting story. The writers, in writing out this film, the script, carefully built up tension and conflict in the story so that all throughout the story, we were left at the edge of our seats wondering how Spider-Man was going to overcome the impossible challenge in front of him.
Donc c'était une très bonne histoire parce que le film établit les tensions petit à petit jusqu'à la fin. On se demande comment Spider-Man il va faire face à ces challenges.
But lo and behold, it was also an incredibly frustrating movie because it ended on a cliffhanger.
Mais en même temps, c'était un peu frustrant parce que ça finit par une suspense.
We were just left there on our edge of the seat of our seats, not knowing how Spider-Man will face up to the great challenge in front of him.
Il ne savait pas comment, à la fin, comment il va faire face à ces différents défis.
How many of you like cliffhangers?
Et combien de personnes qui aiment les suspenses?
No one here likes a good cliffhanger. Kind of. I mean, cliffhangers are good because they leave us wanting more, right? That's the whole point. Is we're going to go see the next movie because we want to know what happens, right?
Alors, le suspense est bien parce qu'il nous donne envie de vouloir d'aller voir plus.
But they are incredibly frustrating because, as I said before, they leave us in suspense.
Et en même temps, c'est très frustrant parce que c'est une suspense. On a envie de savoir plus.
We want to know how the story ends, and it's just incredibly frustrating, maybe even stressful, to not know how the story will end.
C'est même des fois un peu stressant parce qu'on veut vraiment savoir ce qui va passer après.
I don't know about you, but when I watch a TV show, I never end at the end of an episode. I always watch the first couple of minutes of the next episode so that I avoid the cliffhangers.
Donc Sylvain, il regarde souvent les quelques minutes des prochains épisodes pour ne pas avoir suspense.
We all like when a story has a nice resolution.
On aime bien quand l'histoire a une bonne résolution.
We like when they have a nice ending.
Et aussi une fin qui est bonne.
Well, these past couple of weeks, they've been cliffhangers in the story of Joseph.
Mais ces semaines passées, on a beaucoup de suspense dans l'histoire de Joseph.
We've been left asking the question, will his dream, the dream that God gave him in chapter 37, will his dream of ruling over his family really come true?
Donc on se demande, est-ce que le rêve que Dieu a donné à Joseph, est-ce que qu'il va régner sur sa famille, est-ce que ça va vraiment se passer comme ça?
Now that was a dream that God gave Joseph, not sort of a dream as in a goal he has. It was something that God revealed to Joseph that he could hold on to and know it to be true as he goes throughout these intense experiences of suffering and trial.
Donc c'est un rêve que Dieu a révélé à Joseph et ça lui permet de traverser toutes ces épreuves.
Well, it can't come true if none of his family moves to Egypt. He's ruling in Egypt now, but he won't rule over his family if they stay away from Egypt. They've got to make it to Egypt, don't they?
Donc pour que ce rêve devienne une réalité, il faut que sa famille déménage en Égypte, parce que pour l'instant, ses familles sont encore loin de l'Égypte.
Another element of where we're left in suspense is, will Joseph ever reveal himself to his brothers? Will they ever know it's him that they're talking to?
Une autre suspense, c'est que, est-ce que Joseph va vraiment se faire révéler à ses frères?
Will he be able to express his forgiveness for the horrible betrayal that they did to him, and will he be able to express his forgiveness to them personally? We've seen in the past how he, it seems like he has forgiven them, but he hasn't been able to tell them that he's forgiven them.
Donc est-ce qu'il peut leur pardonner comme ses frères l'a trahi dans le passé?
We're left wondering, will Jacob, Joseph's father, will Jacob ever see his beloved son again? Or will he die before he gets a chance to see Joseph?
Est-ce que Jacob va voir Joseph, son fils bien-aimé, avant de mourir?
And we're left with the biggest cliffhanger. Will this broken family, which represents the people of God, will God's chosen but broken family ever be made whole again?
Une autre suspense, c'est que cette famille choisie par Dieu, cette famille brisée, est-ce qu'ils vont se réconcilier?
Well, we don't have to wait much longer for a resolution to all these cliffhangers. Because in the first three verses, we can breathe a sigh of relief and joy because the story is starting to come to a satisfying conclusion.
Donc les premiers versets nous disent déjà la suite de l'histoire.
See, previously on the story of Joseph, see what I did there? Judah has manifested the impressive growth and change in his offense for his brother Benjamin.
Donc précédemment, Judah il a exprimé sa protection envers Benjamin.
See, Joseph, in the last chapter, Joseph was testing his brothers to see if they would betray Benjamin like they betrayed him.
Donc précédemment, Joseph a testé ses autres frères pour voir si ils vont trahir Benjamin comme il avait trahi.
So in the past couple of weeks, we saw how Joseph threatens, or last week really, we saw how Joseph threatens to take Benjamin as a slave in his household, right?
Donc la semaine dernière, on a vu que Joseph a menacé qu'il va prendre Benjamin en tant qu'un esclave.
And all that to test whether the brothers will be able to give themselves up for Benjamin, whether they'll say, that's good for us, you know, we got rid of Joseph, we can also get rid of Benjamin.
Donc nous avons testé si ses frères vont prendre la place de Benjamin pour être esclave ou il va les faire.
You know, we saw how the brothers themselves, we saw how they changed.
Et on voit aussi les changements de ses frères.
See, Judah, who was the one who came up with the plan to betray Joseph and sell him to slavery, well, he's now giving himself up for Benjamin.
Donc Judah, initialement, qui a établi le plan de vendre Joseph en tant qu'esclave, maintenant il se met dans une position de protéger Benjamin.
Look at what he says in chapter 44, verse. What verses am I looking at here? Wrong chapter. Yeah, verse 33 onwards.
On va regarder chapitre 44, verset 30.
He says, please let your servant remain here as your Lord's slave in place of the boy Benjamin. And let Benjamin return with his brothers. How can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? No, don't let me see the misery that would come on my father.
Verset 33 jusqu'à 34. Permets-moi donc de rester à la place du garçon comme esclave de mon seigneur et que le garçon reparte avec ses frères. Comment pourrais-je remonter vers mon père si le garçon n'est pas avec moi? Non, je ne veux pas voir le malheur frapper mon père.
Oh, what a change of pace for Judah. No, he had betrayed Joseph, but he won't betray Benjamin. He deceived his father and didn't care much about how sad his father Jacob was when he heard about Joseph's demise. But here, he cares so much about his father that he's willing to give his life away so that his father can see his favorite son once again.
On voit aussi les changements de Judas ici. Avant, il a trahi Joseph. Il prenait pas en compte le sentiment de son père. Mais là, maintenant, il veut protéger Benjamin. Il veut se donner sa vie à la place de Benjamin.
And as we come into our chapter this week, we see that this is simply too much for Joseph.
Donc là, on voit que tout ça, c'est trop pour Joseph.
See, he previously, there have been moments while he was testing his brothers where he almost breaks character, right? Because here, the brothers don't know him for their brother. They know Joseph as the ruler of Egypt.
Normalement, quand Joseph il testait plusieurs fois ses frères, il y a des moments où mon difficile il était émotionnel.
And so there are moments where Joseph has to go away and cry, he has to weep because of the intensity, just the emotional intensity of seeing his brothers once again.
Donc il y a un moment que Joseph il doit partir pour aller pleurer parce que c'était trop intense émotionnellement.
So in those moments he was able to control himself and come back and talk to his brothers and put them to the test. But here, there's no control anymore. Look at what it says in verse 1. When Joseph could no longer control himself before all of his tenants, he cries out, "Everyone leave me, everyone go out, all the Egyptians, leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers.
Bon, avant, il y a des moments où il pouvait encore se retenir. Et mais là, verset 1, Joseph ne parvenait plus à se retenir devant tous ceux qui l'entouraient. Donc il écria, faites sortir tout le monde. Comme ça, il n'y a personne qui reste avec eux quand il se fait reconnaître.
And he weeps so loudly, and he weeps for his brothers. He weeps so loudly that the people he sent away can hear him.
Donc il a tellement pleuré que, en fait, les gens qu'il avait envoyé partir, il l'entend.
And he says to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still living? There it is. This is the moment we've all been waiting for. It's the great reveal of Joseph to his brothers.
Verset 3, il dit, Joseph a dit ses frères, je suis Joseph. Mon père est-il encore en vie? Donc c'est le moment qu'on attend pendant longtemps. Joseph se fait reconnaître par ses frères.
Our suspense is lifted. We've been wondering, will Joseph forgive his brothers? Will he be able to reconcile himself with them? Or will he punish his brothers? Will he look for vengeance? Will he put them, he has the power to put them into slavery.
Donc notre suspense a levé ici. Et on s'est posé avant la question, est-ce qu'il va prendre la vengeance? Est-ce qu'il va les mettre dans une place d'esclave?
But we see here that he doesn't. This whole chapter has been a chapter, an emotionally filled chapter, where we see the sheer emotional weight that the reunion between the brothers brings, and the joy and the peace that it brings forth.
Mais c'est un chapitre de réconciliation, de joie.
It's a chapter. It is the chapter of reconciliation in the book of Joseph, in the story of Joseph.
C'est vraiment le chapitre de réconciliation dans l'histoire de Joseph.
It's a chapter we've been looking forward to and waiting for.
C'est le chapitre qu'on attend.
And last week we were left to wonder, as I said last week, we were left wondering whether Joseph would have revenge on his brothers. This week we see that he welcomes them with open arms.
Donc la semaine dernière on s'est demandé est-ce que Joseph va réconcilier avec ses frères. Et là, cette semaine, on voit qu'il réconcilie avec ses frères.
And there was one key moment, one key event, or yeah, there's one key moment in this passage where we're going to look at a bit more in depth too, because the big idea of this passage, and in fact, the big idea of this whole epic story of Joseph, is contained in this one key moment.
Donc on va voir un moment clé de ce chapitre, ce qui est très important dans l'histoire de Joseph.
And that moment is Joseph's speech to his brothers in verses 4 to 8.
Et ce moment, c'est le moment où Joseph parle à ses frères de verset 4 à verset 8.
See, when Joseph, when he reveals, when the brothers learn that the ruler of Egypt that they have been dealing with for the past couple of years is actually the brother that they've betrayed, or they're, you know, understandably very afraid. They're terrified.
Donc, quand ses frères réalisaient que les semaines passées, que le gouverneur de l'Égypte et le frère qu'il avait trahi dans le passé, ils ont très peur.
You know, they're left wondering, is our brother, is he going to take revenge on us? You know, he could, he's got the power to do so. Is he going to continue the cycle of guilt and anger and hatred and retaliation that the brother started?
Donc il se demandait, est-ce qu'il va se venger?
But he breaks the cycle and expresses forgiveness and seeks to establish peace and unity and fellowship within his family.
Donc au lieu de continuer ce cycle de vengeance et de la haine, il est réconcilié et il met en place la paix et l'amour.
But how is he able to forgive the brothers for such a heinous crime that they committed against him?
Alors comment Joseph a pu pardonner ses frères?
Now, how is he able to not hold a grudge against his brothers?
Donc how does he hold a grudge against his brothers? Comment
have hard feelings maybe is a better way of you know, I don't know about you, but my personal experience has been that it is very easy and natural for us to hold grudges, isn't it?
Donc c'est pour nous c'est très très facile de garder rancune.
Forgiveness is really hard for us. We are natural grudge holders. We naturally hold hard feelings against people who wronged us.
Donc le pardon est très difficile. On naturellement humainement on garde la rancune.
If you doubt me, I discovered a study made on the topic, an interesting study on our ability as a human race to hold grudges against one another.
Donc Sylvain a vu une étude la capacité de l'humain à garder les rancunes.
This was a study of about 12,000 adults spread out throughout the world.
Donc c'est sur une étude de 12,000 personnes dans le monde entier.
Yeah. 12,000 adults all around the world which were surveyed about holding grudges, having hard feelings against people, wanting to retaliate against people, that sort of thing. And what they found, the conclusion they came to, was that apparently the average adult holds about 7 grudges at any given time, any given moment.
What, 7 grudges?
7 grudges. Holds, you know, they hold resentment in their heart for about 7 different people, 7 different companies, 7 different things at any given time.
Donc moyennement, parmi ces 12 000 adultes, il garde les rendez-vous pour 7 choses ou 7 personnes.
So if holding grudges is so natural, you know, all that to say that holding grudges for us is a natural thing. If it's so natural, why doesn't Joseph harbor that same bitterness for his brothers?
Donc si garder rancune est une chose tellement facile, comment Joseph a pu pardonner ses frères?
Well, last week, Alan suggested a helpful answer.
Donc, la semaine dernière, Alan a donné une réponse qui est très très utile.
And in this week, Joseph, in the speech that we're going to look at, he's giving us the answer of how he can forgive his brothers rather than hold bitterness and a grudge against them.
Donc cette semaine, Joseph nous donne la réponse pourquoi il peut pardonner ses frères.
And in verses 4 down to 8, what he's doing is he's comforting his brothers, isn't he? And trying to put their minds at ease. They're afraid. They think, oh no, it's time. We're going to get it. Joseph here, he's really concerned about putting his brother's mind at ease.
Donc versets 4 à 8, Joseph, il conforte ses frères aussi. Il essaie de calmer l'esprit de ses frères.
He's sharing with his brothers how he has been able to cope with all the suffering that they've put him through.
Et il a partagé comment il a pu traverser toutes les souffrances que ses frères l'ont introduit.
So as we read these 4 verses, think about how you would answer that question. How is Joseph able to cope with all the suffering that his brothers have put him through?
Donc quand on va lire ces 4 versets, on va garder l'esprit la question de comment Joseph peut pardonner ses frères.
So Joseph says to his brothers, come close to me. And when they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into slavery. sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there have been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no plowing and no reaping, but God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt.
Joseph dit à ses frères, approchez-vous de moi, et ils approchèrent. Il dit, je suis Joseph, votre frère, celui que vous avez vendu à la destination de l'Égypte. Maintenant, ne vous tourmentez pas et ne soyez pas fâchés contre vous-même de m'avoir vendu pour que je sois conduit ici. Car c'est pour vous sauver la vie que Dieu m'a envoyé ici avant vous. Voilà 2 ans que la famine dure dans le pays, et pendant 5 ans encore, il n'y aura ni labourage ni moisson. Dieu m'a envoyé ici avant pour vous permettre de subsister dans le pays et vous faire vivre en vous accordant une grande délivrance. Ce n'est donc pas vous qui m'avez envoyé ici, c'est Dieu. Il m'a établi père du Pharaon, seigneur de toute sa maison et gouverneur de toute l'Égypte.
Did you guys catch what Joseph was doing there? See, was he absolving his brothers of all responsibility for their wicked action against him? No. He doesn't go around telling them that selling someone into slavery is no big deal. He recognizes that they did it and that it was wrong, doesn't he? We see that in verse 4. He says, hey, look, I'm your brother Joseph, you know, the one you sold into Egypt.
Donc, vous voyez qu'est-ce que Joseph est en train de faire ici. Il reconnaît d'abord l'erreur de ses frères.
He doesn't make light of their sinful actions. He recognizes that, rightly so, they probably were distressed and angry because of the sin they committed against him.
Donc, d'abord, il ne prend pas léger l'erreur que ses frères ont fait contre Joseph.
But ultimately, Joseph can forgive his brothers because of something he believes about God.
Donc Joseph, il a pu pardonner ses frères, c'est parce que quelque chose, il croit en Dieu.
And what does he believe about God?
Donc qu'est-ce qu'il croit en Dieu sur ces choses?
Does anyone want to hazard a guess? It's repeated 3 times in these verses.
Donc est-ce que quelqu'un veut donner une réponse? C'est répété 3 fois pendant ces versets.
What is it that Joseph realized God is doing here?
Donc, qu'est-ce que...
It's that God has sent him ahead of the brothers to Egypt to preserve life.
Donc, c'est Dieu l'a envoyé avant pour leur permettre de préserver leur vie.
And in saying that, 3 times, Joseph is recognizing and he's understood something incredibly important about evil, about suffering, and about any trial that a person can go through.
Donc, répétant 3 fois ces choses, Joseph, il comprend que le mal, la souffrance, et aussi l'épreuve.
And he understands something incredibly important about this and it's about those things, and it's this. It's that God can use all these things in your life to do you good rather than evil.
Donc, il comprend que Dieu peut utiliser le mal, la souffrance et l'épreuve dans notre vie pour notre bien.
I'm going to repeat it because that's important. God can use all these things, the suffering you go through, the evil that you've experienced, the sin someone has done against you, the trials that you've had to go through. He can use those things that were intended to harm you, he can use those to do you good.
Donc Dieu peut utiliser le mal, l'épreuve, les souffrances, aussi les péchés, toutes ces mauvaises choses, pour établir du bien pour toi.
Joseph understood that evil was not a force that rivaled God's sovereignty in the world, but it is something ultimately that serves God's good will for the people that he loves.
Donc le mal n'est pas une force qui est un rival contre le royaume de Dieu, mais c'est quelque chose que Dieu peut utiliser pour le bien des gens.
He understood that the brothers, his brothers, did something incredibly wrong to him by selling him into slavery into Egypt. But at the same time, he understood that God is at work sending Joseph to Egypt to preserve a remnant for his people and to save lives through great deliverance.
Donc Joseph, il comprend que en même temps, ses frères a fait une grande erreur de la vendre en Égypte, mais en même temps, Dieu est dans le travail. Il a envoyé Joseph en Égypte pour sauver des vies.
To put it differently, what the brothers intended to harm Joseph, what the brothers intended for evil, God intended for good.
Donc ses frères, leur intention est de faire du mal, mais l'intention de Dieu est de, à travers ça, faire du bien.
Now, at this point, this is a point where we all go, how is this possible? How can this be true? How does this even work?
Donc en ce moment, comment c'est possible et comment ça fonctionne?
Can a good God really work through evil?
Est-ce qu'un bon Dieu peut vraiment travailler à travers le mal?
I think the medical field has a helpful image to understand something about this, how evil, something used for evil can be intended for good.
Dans le domaine de médecine, on peut utiliser des mâles pour le bien.
Have any of you heard of mustard gas?
Est-ce que vous avez pas entendu parler de
mustard gas?
Mustard gas. Okay.
Gaz de moutarde.
Oh, okay.
Gaz de moutarde. All right, what do you know about mustard gas? Someone throw up an answer. What is it used for?
Kills people very quickly. It's ammonium and sodium water.
Yes, it kills people very quickly. It's toxic. It was used in war, right? In fact, it was used as a chemical weapon first in World War I and onward. In other words, wars.
Donc, gaz, ça a utilisé comme une arme chimique pendant la Première Guerre mondiale.
It's a pretty nasty thing. Needless to say, it's a pretty nasty thing used for a pretty evil purpose.
Donc, c'est une arme qui est très très mauvaise pour tuer les gens.
But during World War II, in studying the effects that this gas had on people, researchers discovered another use for this gas.
Donc pendant la Deuxième Guerre mondiale, au lieu de les chercheurs ont trouvé une autre fonction sur ces masses de gaz.
You see, they realized it that this could be used to destroy rapidly growing cancer cells.
Donc ils peuvent utiliser ces masses de gaz pour tuer les cancers.
And this was later researched further and developed, and it's now something that's widely used throughout the world to combat cancer, called chemotherapy.
Donc aujourd'hui c'est utilisé de façon très bondue qui est la chimiothérapie.
But as you can imagine, chemotherapy is a pretty painful process because what was once used to kill someone, now it's used to heal people.
Donc c'est un processus très douloureux.
If someone from World War I, right, who had seen the use of mustard gas to kill people quickly, traveled in the future to our day and saw how we would use a mustard gas as a medical treatment, what would they think about us? Well, they would think that we were pretty evil, wouldn't they?
Donc imaginez quelqu'un qui est dans la Première Guerre mondiale et il a traversé le temps. Et vient aujourd'hui et voit qu'aujourd'hui on se sert de mustard gas pour guérir les gens. Il va penser qu'on est très méchant.
But would they be right in condemning us for using this organic compound to treat something like cancer?
Mais est-ce que c'est correct de nous condamner qu'on utilise cette gaz pour la guérison des cancers?
Our doctors aren't evil at all when they're using this type of medicine to treat patients. Because what was originally intended for evil purposes, they're now using for good, to heal people. And through that use, the death rates of cancer patients have gone down.
Donc les docteurs, ils sont pas mauvais parce que originellement, l'intention d'utiliser cette mustard gas est de tuer les gens, mais là, aujourd'hui, l'intention d'utiliser les massacres et de guérir les gens.
See, this is similar to how God works in our suffering.
Donc c'est similaire comment Dieu travaillait sur notre souffrance.
He knows how something that could potentially harm us and has caused us harm can be used for our good.
Il sait que quelque chose qui peut nous faire du mal peut potentiellement se servir pour nous faire du bien.
And most of the time, we're like these World War I war veterans who couldn't see, who can't see how something bad can be used for our good.
Et très souvent, on est comme des victimes de guerre qu'on peut pas, voir la, comment Dieu peut travailler ses souffrances pour notre bien.
But we're called, like Joseph, to believe it to be true and to trust that God has good designs through evil, or good purposes evil for good.
Donc on est appelé comme ses frères de Joseph à croire en Dieu que Dieu peut se servir ses souffrances pour notre bien.
And because Joseph trusts God, that God is sovereign over evil designs and can use them for the good of his people, we can do two things which are incredibly important for when it comes to forgiveness and reconciliation, potentially in moving from one to the other.
Donc, il y a deux choses importantes dans, concernant le pardon et la réconciliation.
First is this. Joseph, in trusting God, can now trust his brothers.
La première chose, c'est que maintenant, Joseph, qui croit en Dieu, maintenant il peut faire confiance à ses frères.
And so, what does he do? He sends his brothers out on an important mission to go get his father back and bring him over in Egypt. He gives them riches, he gives them food, he loads them up with donkeys and carts so that they go out and get their father and so that they can come back to Egypt and they can all live together as a united whole family. A family that was broken can now be united. And the brothers who participated in the breaking of the family can now participate in reuniting the family.
Donc Joseph qui commence à faire confiance à ses frères, il leur envoie dans une mission d'amener le reste de famille en Égypte.
And secondly, he can live at peace in their presence again.
Et deuxièmement, maintenant il peut vivre en paix.
Look at verses 14 and 15.
Regardez versets 14 et 15.
Then Joseph threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterwards, his brothers talked with him.
Puis il se jeta au cou de son frère Benjamin et pleura. Benjamin pleura aussi à son cou. Joseph embrassa tous ses frères en pleurant. Après quoi, ses frères discutaient avec lui.
This image should bring tears to our eyes and joy to our hearts.
Donc c'est une belle image qui nous rend pleurer.
You see, if you remember at the beginning of our series on the life of Joseph, some of you weren't here at the beginning, so you can't remember. But if you remember, the brothers, they couldn't say any nice things to Joseph. They couldn't even speak peacefully with Joseph. They couldn't speak with him. They couldn't talk to him.
Donc, au tout début, ses frères ne peuvent pas lui parler, ne peuvent pas, ils lui parlent que du mal.
They're fostering hatred and bitterness and jealousy against their brother.
Ils avaient la haine, un cœur amer contre Joseph.
These brothers now, who couldn't stand to say anything in the presence of Joseph, well now, they're talking with him.
Donc, et là maintenant, les frères, ils discutent ensemble.
Joseph, who seemed content to live in Egypt, and never go back home, he seemed content to forget all his troubles at home, will now want his family to live with him.
Donc Joseph qui a une bonne position en Égypte, une belle vie en Égypte, maintenant il veut réconcilier avec sa famille et aussi vivre avec ses familles.
We see that it's possible for enemies to hug, for broken families to be renewed, for brothers to talk peacefully with one another. And if you have brothers, you know how difficult this is.
On voit que c'est possible que entre les ennemis ils se réconcilient et entre les frères aussi. Et si vous avez des frères, vous savez comment c'est parfois difficile.
This is a scene of the broken family made whole once again.
Donc c'est une scène d'une famille brisée redevient une famille réconciliée.
But what does that mean for us? What does that change for us? What can we learn from this?
Donc, qu'est-ce qu'on peut apprendre de cette histoire?
First, like Joseph, we need to believe that God, as sovereign Lord over all, and as our loving Father, can use things intended to harm us for our good.
La première chose qu'il faut qu'on croit en Dieu, qui est un Dieu souverain, qui peut utiliser notre souffrance pour notre bien.
See, if we are going to find a way to be a people who never hold grudges against one another, who never nurse bitterness towards one another, we need to come to a place where we can see, where we can understand, we can believe that God is the one at work through evil and through our suffering.
Donc si on, si on veut vouloir pardonner et ne pas garder rancune envers les gens, on a besoin de voir Dieu, ils peuvent travailler toutes ces souffrances.
The issue we have is we tend to let our fear of evil or our fear of sin or being sinned against or our fear for of suffering blind us to what God is doing.
Mais le problème c'est que souvent on laisse la peur de pécher ça nous rend aveugle que ce que Dieu peut faire.
We can't imagine, we can't fathom any way that God could use that for our good.
On peut pas imaginer comment Dieu peut utiliser toutes ces mauvaises choses pour notre bien.
We can't imagine how God can overcome the horror of some situations.
On peut pas imaginer comment Dieu peut surpasser l'horreur de certaines situations.
But this was the case for Joseph, right?
Mais c'est une situation pour Joseph.
See, this wasn't an automatic process from him being betrayed to him thinking, oh yes, I can now understand how God has been at work through this. This happened at the end, 20 years down the road. 20 years is a long time, guys.
C'est vrai, c'est pas un processus automatique pour Joseph, mais ça a pris 20 ans.
Joseph's story here is to call us to faith in God that he can use evil intended to harm us for our good.
Donc l'histoire de Joseph ici nous appelle à croire en Dieu qui peut utiliser le mal pour notre bien.
Joseph is giving us the lens through which we need to see the world if we're going to be able to live at peace with one another.
Donc Joseph nous aide à voir comment vivre en paix avec les autres.
And if we are able to recognize that it's if we can recognize that it's God's grace at work in our life through people's sins, we will be much, much better at forgiving people and getting rid of all the grudges, of those seven grudges that we all hold.
Donc si on reconnaît que c'est à travers la grâce de Dieu que toutes ces choses marchent, on peut être plus facilement aller pardonner les autres.
The second thing we need to understand is that this view, this lens, understanding that God works through evil for our good, is essential to the gospel message.
La deuxième chose, c'est que comprendre que Dieu peut faire le bien à travers le mal, c'est essentiel l'évangile de Christ.
See, the first gospel message that we get in the Bible after Christ has ascends to heaven is Peter. He's talking to a lot of Jews who've gathered at Jerusalem, and he preaches the gospel to them.
Donc Pierre, après que Jésus a monté au ciel, il parle aux Juifs qui est au Jérusalem.
And he makes an important point to them. He says, look, you all know Jesus. You all remember him. You saw him. Well, Jesus was a man appointed by God to save you.
Donc Pierre a dit aux Juifs que Jésus est choisi pour vous sauver.
Yet what did you do to him? You betrayed him, and with the help of wicked men, you put him to death by nailing him on a cross.
Mais aux Juifs, il dit aux Juifs, mais vous l'avez trahi et aussi vous l'avez crucifié.
But God raised him up, and made Jesus, this man, the Savior of the world. He made him Messiah.
Mais Dieu l'a relevé au ciel et l'a établi en tant que Seigneur du monde.
And now, whoever believes in him can experience forgiveness for their betrayals.
Donc pour ceux qui croient en Jésus maintenant, peut expérimenter le pardon de Dieu.
What Peter is saying there is essentially what you intended for harm, God meant for good.
Donc ce que Pierre est dit ici, c'est que ce que Dieu veut faire à travers le mal pour du bien.
We said this, I think, a couple weeks ago, but we are more like the brothers in this story, Joseph's brothers in the story, than we are like Joseph.
Donc nous on est un peu plus comme les frères de Joseph que Joseph.
If ever we doubt that God can use evil for our good, we must remember that He did so to save us.
Si on doute que Dieu peut utiliser le mal pour le bien, il faut qu'on se souvienne qu'il a fait.
Because mankind betrayed its Savior Jesus and put him to death, they intended evil against him, but God used that to save mankind.
Parce que l'humanité a trahi Jésus-Christ et l'a crucifié, mais Dieu a utilisé ça pour sauver l'humanité.
Which leads me to my last point. Just like Joseph's story doesn't end on a cliffhanger, ours doesn't either.
Donc tout comme l'histoire de Joseph finit pas par une suspense, ben, le nôtre non plus.
See, the story ends with where we are in the point in the story. We see the brothers united. The hostility between them is crushed. The brothers can be assured that Joseph harbors no ill feelings towards them. All the things that needed resolution had been resolved, more or less.
Donc on voit que ses frères ont eu la réconciliation.
We're still waiting for Jacob to make it back to Egypt, but we know he's going to go, right? We know he's going to go because he wants to see his son alive once again.
Bon, là ici on attend encore Jacob qui va en Égypte, mais là maintenant parce qu'ils veulent voir son fils.
So all the cliffhangers we saw at the beginning of the story, well, they're resolved. The gospel message tells us that our story doesn't have any cliffhangers either.
Donc la Bible nous dit que notre histoire n'a pas de suspense.
We aren't left wondering whether we will be made right with God or not.
On va pas se demander est-ce que on va être justifié par Dieu.
See, do you feel far from God?
Est-ce que vous vous sentez loin de Dieu?
Well, the gospel tells us that God has made himself close, that we've been brought close to God. We see in Ephesians 2, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
Donc Éphésiens 2 nous dit que Dieu nous a approchés et à travers Jésus-Christ on est rapprochés de Dieu.
So the closeness of the brothers that we see in verses 14 and 15, what's the same closeness that we can experience with God?
Donc là, cette proximité, cette réconciliation de versets 14 et 15, on peut aussi l'expérimenter, cette proximité avec Dieu.
Do you feel at war with God?
Est-ce que vous vous sentez en guerre avec Dieu?
The gospel is about our peace with him.
L'évangile, il s'agit de la paix entre nous et Dieu.
That's why we read Romans 5 at the beginning of this service. It says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have, what? Peace with God through our Lord, Jesus Christ.
C'est pour ça qu'on lit le verset 5, non, le chapitre 5 du livre Romains, que Dieu, on est justifié par Dieu.
And finally, do you feel like God doesn't care about you or doesn't care about what you go through?
Est-ce que vous sentez que Dieu ne prend pas en compte ce que vous êtes en train de traverser?
Well, the gospel shows. The gospel flows actually from the compassion. It's a direct result of God's love for you, of His compassion towards you.
Alors la Bible nous parle de la compassion et l'amour de Dieu.
See, we read this about Jesus when he looks at the crowds. He says this: we read this, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd.
On lit ça dans la Bible que quand Jésus regarde la foule, il a la compassion, parce que les foules, c'est comme des brebis sans berger.
This is how God feels when he looks to you.
C'est ce que Dieu ressent quand il nous regarde.
So these are just three potential cliffhangers that we have in our relationship with God. We either feel him away, we feel us warring against him, or we feel like he doesn't like us, as if he hates us. But the gospel is all about how we've been brought closer to him, how we've been forgiven, and now there's peace, not war, between us and God, and how much he cares and loves for us.
Donc il y a ces trois suspens qu'on se pose sur les relations avec Dieu. Est-ce qu'on est loin, est-ce qu'on est loin de lui? Est-ce qu'on est en guerre avec Dieu? Est-ce que Dieu nous prend soin? Alors, la Bible nous donne la réponse. Oui, Dieu est en paix avec nous et aussi, il nous aime.
And all that was done regardless of our evil against him. What we intended to, you know, what we intended for evil, God intended for good. Let's pray together.
Alors, on va prier.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your sovereignty and your control over evil, over suffering, and over the different trials that we can face in our lives.
Dieu, notre, nous te remercions pour ta souveraineté qui surpasse le mal et qui surpasse le péché.
We thank you how Joseph's story points us to the story of our Savior.
On nous remercie comment l'histoire de Joseph pointe à l'histoire de notre Jésus-Christ.
How though he was betrayed by humanity, well, you raised him up so that he could save humanity.
Comment tu, même si Jésus a trahi par l'humanité, mais tu l'as ressuscité pour qu'il puisse sauver le monde.
We thank you how this shows us your love for us and your compassion towards us.
On remercie que tu nous montres ta compassion et ton amour.
And we pray that you help us trust that you want our good.
On a prié que tu nous aides, qu'on veut ton bien.
Help us realize in the depths of our being, in the depths of our heart, that you are able to work evil for our good.
Aide-nous à comprendre et à croire dans notre cœur que tu peux faire le bien à travers le mal.
That way we can be a people who don't resent others, who aren't grudge holders, but who seek to forgive one another and who seek to live in peace and fellowship and unity.
Donc on peut devenir des ton peuple qui peut pardonner qui ne garde pas le mal dans notre cœur.
Help our hearts be gripped by the gospel truth of your love for us, of peace made with you, and of our closeness now towards you.
Aide-nous dans notre cœur à comprendre ton amour et de vivre en proximité avec toi.
In Christ's name we pray.
Au nom de Jésus, amen.